right, as I am dancing to the music, that means it is time for the Aging Well Together show. Yay! Welcome. So excited to have you all here, our first show of March. This is going to be a great show. It's going to be super helpful. We're going to learn all about special resources and educational programs at the Orange County Department on Aging. We have a fantastic real-life gerontologist here. We have Lydia Arnold, who is the Aging Transitions and Volunteer Connect 55-plus specialist. She organizes lots of programs, so we're going to touch on so many issues. When I saw the list, I was like, oh, this is a good show. Every show here is good, really.
Yeah.
But welcome, everyone, to our Aging Well Together show. I am excited for all we are going to learn together. But before we dive into our show, I want to give a shout-out to WCOMLP Chapel Hill Carrboro for hosting our weekly Aging Well Together show. The Aging Well Together show is brought to you by the wonderfully helpful team at the Orange County Department on Aging, and we have one of their wonderful team members sitting right across from me, so that's exciting. As you know, you can join us each week as we interview special guests to share information, resources, insights, and stories about the opportunities for aging well together. You can catch us live every Thursday from 2 to 3 or stream us live through WCOMFM.org. Or you can listen to any of our previous shows, aka our podcasts, and this is our 35th show. And it is, our podcasts are listed on the Orange County Department on Aging's website, which is, this is the time when you get your paper and a pen and you write down www.orangecountync.gov/aging. On the website, you can find links to our Aging Well Together radio show, as well as a host of helpful resources about services in Orange County, North Carolina. And if you, especially after today's show, it's a great place to go to the website to get lots of different resources. You can also, if you go to the website, you'll see a link for the Aging Well Together radio show where you can listen to any of our podcasts. And if you want to suggest a topic for an upcoming show, you can either call the Department on Aging at 919-968-2070. Or feel free to email me at agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. And a shout out to the Carrboro Bass Band, the Robert Bradford Quartet, for allowing us to use their great music for our opening and closing music. As I've said the last few times, they were at the end of the year, right? And oh no, it was one of the early 2024. Anyway, one of the last few podcasts, the band came in and played live and told us all about their inspiration. So you can go to the website and listen to that and learn more about the Robert Bradford Quartet. And at the end of the show, you'll be able to hear more of their music. And now, as she is getting herself set up, back from a fabulous civic duty, I don't know what we're calling, Alicia Reed is back in the station, my co-host. She is sighing. Are you exhausted, Alicia? How are you?
I'm exhausted. It's nice to be back together.
Hi. And you can put the mic up towards you. I always have to. It's been weeks. Since I've been able to give you a hard time. Oh, wait, you know what? Your mic's not on, honey.
I've been listening to you, though.
Oh.
I've been listening to her. I miss being Ed McMahon.
Her. Alicia, we missed you. I missed you so much, I didn't even have your microphone on. Alicia, why have you not been with us for the last few weeks?
I've been doing early voting and voting day. It's been weird. It's over. Let's not talk about it. It was only a dream.
You were wonderful, though. Did you hear every show? I gave you a shout out. Alicia's not here, and you weren't able to do your own show, Afternoon Talk with Alicia, that comes right after our show, because you were helping us all do our civic. You were helping democracy, literally. You were helping it happen because you helped us all vote.
Thank you for saying that. In our country, it still exists.
Yes, it does. Thank you, friend. And when you are not helping our country move forward, you are helping the Orange County Department on Aging move forward with their wellness programs, as you are one of their wellness instructors.
And what about Ombudsman.
Oh, that's right. We talked about the Ombudsman program, and Alicia has become one of the newest members of the Community Advisory.
That's fun. So
committees as a volunteer.
Oh, that's very exciting, nice. Too. So they were here too on the show. So many people I've met want to be on the show. I was giving out your information in case you didn't know.
Totally fine. Totally fine. We are so excited. And it's been really fun, all the requests. All right,
you're getting a lot?
We have. Good. I had one day where I had 5 requests in 24 hours coming from the website, the email, someone called the station.
Good.
And so I'm so excited that the community is seeing it as their resource and asking for topics.
They are. One last thing. I don't know if I could admit to this, but at some point...
Nobody's listening. It's fine. Okay. Oh, wait, we're on live radio. They might be.
I was given out on the first page of the magazine.
Yes, yeah. The magazine, which otherwise known as Endless Possibilities.
I turned to the first page. Guess which the show is on there, Aging Well Together, and people were pulling in. I gave out at least 25. Oh, am I supposed to say that?
What? No, that's good.
That you gave out our Orange County Resource Guide? Totally fine.
Absolutely.
And on the first page, page one is Aging Well Together.
I have to go pick up a copy.
Yeah. And everybody was like, I didn't know. I was like, yeah. And if you listen and call Heather.
Yes. Oh, all right. Well, this is wonderful. Okay, we have to dive into our show. So that's Alicia.
Folks. I'm back. Okay.
She's back with me.
It's hot in here.
With us. I know. You can open the door if you want. I know it went from too cold in here to too hot. And we had a visitor a few weeks ago, so I was keeping the door shut.
It's a beautiful day, though. It's so nice out today.
I know. All right, Lydia, we got to jump into you. First of all, let me just say, for those of you who don't know why I'm talking at you, I'm Heather Altman. I've spent over 25 years working in aging services and supports. I help older adults and their families connect with resources in our community. Last week's show was all about the work that we do at All About Seniors, and that's one of the places that I work and help with families. So I'm a caregiver for older family members, and at 53, I am focusing on my own changing needs. So I'm super invested in how we are all aging well together, and I am super invested in my friend Lydia Arnold, who is here from the Orange County Department on Aging. I'm gonna brag about her for a moment. Anyway.
Wow, you're from the...
I know. Yay! Lydia is, as I said before, she is the Aging Transitions and Volunteer Connect 55-plus specialist.
I know, it's a long title.
Wow.
It is.
Great.
Can't we just say she's like an aging specialist?
That's
Because that's what you are, and we're going to get into that in a moment, but you gave me a great little background. So Lydia is going to tell us all about her life as a gerontologist. She has a background in public health, which so do I.
Yay!
She's worked in the aging field for 9 years. She has previously worked as a direct care worker in the home and in long-term care settings, in home care management, medical nutrition, and health education. She's going to tell us all about this. She has been with the Orange County Department on Aging only 2.5 years. Orange County Department on Aging, I don't think you count as an employee until you're there for at least 25 years. I mean,
at least. She's over 55.
She's the new woman on the block.
Yes.
Relatively new, but she's been there for long enough that everyone is so amazed with her. She's providing direct services and supports to older adults and caregivers. She does community education. She supports our volunteer safety net services. She's going to tell us all about this, and she has all these wonderful, certified independent consultant with Positive Approach to Care. Hmm. She's a certified options counselor. She's a certified dementia care partner. She's a MOCA certified rater. I don't know what that is, but she's going to explain
that.
So anyway, let's just get to it. Lydia, welcome to Aging Well Together show. Yay!
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
It's
my first radio show.
I know. Well, ours too, really. We have wanted you on the show for months, and we've had your team members on, and we're like...
I know. I feel like every time you and I saw each other, we're like, we need to get you on the show. And we finally made it happen.
And we don't want to frustrate our friends and colleagues by saying we saved the best for last, because that would be so wrong.
That would be wrong.
It would be wrong. Yeah. Everyone there is amazing, and we are so happy. Tell us, we're going to get into what you're doing now, but we always like to start the show with, tell us a little about you, where you're from, your background, and how you got so passionate about aging services.
Absolutely. I would love to. And I really did. I got really passionate about aging, and I truly, truly love what I do. I don't think I could find more meaning and purpose in the work that I do. And I feel like that's really common in aging. People who work in aging, you know, there's a lot of fulfillment.
We kind of love it. It's a bit of a calling.
Yeah.
And it's quirky enough that you have to
want to be in it.
And people don't really, I think it's the best. It's the best kept secret that shouldn't be a secret of how amazing it is to work in aging and long-term care.
Go on. Truly.
Sorry.
No. So I initially wanted to be a nurse when I went to college, mm-hmm. and I'm a younger professional, wanted to do nursing. So I got I got my CNA license, certified nursing assistant, when I was 18 years old. I got it the same day I turned 18. I graduated.
Oh, wow.
And I'll always remember that.
Impressive, directed.
And so I went on to college and was thinking I was going to do nursing. And I was talking with a counselor one day, and I was like, I don't know if nursing is exactly what I want to do. They're like, well, what do you like? I was like, well, I'm a CNA. I worked as a CNA in high school. When I went to college, that was my part-time job. I worked there for years in different long-term care facilities. I worked in the home for families, and I just loved it. I just really grew attached to these older adults, and I saw the inequities. I saw the needs. I saw the problems there, and I was like, that's where my heart was. And I was like, I could see myself working with older adults. And they're like, oh, well, did you know we have a gerontology program? And I was like, what is that?
Wow.
So that's how I found out about gerontology. And even now, you know, I come across people and people don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's up and becoming, which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. We need more people in aging.
Well, and first of all, and you are younger, and even if you weren't, I went back and got a doctoral degree in my 40s. There's no reason why you can't combine it and be a geriatric nurse practitioner. So you could still combine your clinical interests, though I am very happy you did both a public health and So that aside, someone once called me a gerontologist. I'm like, well, my degrees are in public health. I don't think you can be called a gerontologist unless you actually have a degree. So what is gerontology?
So,
and how do you get to call yourself that?
Versus you not.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy put in a book that I was, so.
Anyway. Right.
Well, you're almost kind of like one anyway, because you've been an agent.
My degrees, but are public health, not age. Okay, go on.
Well, officially, I guess, to be a gerontologist, it's a master's level in gerontology.
You need the MSG.
You need the MSG.
Kind of funny that it's called that.
You need the thought.
Yeah.
Because she's the MSG.
But at the same time, a gerontologist is just an aging specialist, you know, with the physical aspects of aging, psychological aspects, psychosocial aspects of aging, just aging as a whole, the issues with society and aging. So
that does make you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He did a book of it and said social gerontologist Heather Altman. I was like, okay, but this is not about me. This is about you. And you literally, when you break apart the word, ology is the study of.
Study of.
Gero.
Aging. Older people.
There you go.
You fit.
Yeah, and that's how I explain it to people, because you think geriatrics, they're like, oh, yeah, I've heard of geriatrics. I've heard of a geriatrician. Mm-hmm. That's going to be your medical provider. That's going to be your clinical side of aging. Gerontology is more of the social services, the support, the navigating age, the realm of aging.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And where did you go? Because we only have so many programs in the state. So it's also about where it can be even offered. I know one program. Where did you end up going?
I went to UNC Wilmington.
Oh, okay. Because I knew UNCG has a program.
UNCG.
UNC Wilmington.
Yeah, UNC Wilmington. They had a phenomenal program. I actually practiced under Anne Glass. She was the professor at the time. And she was really involved in a lot of the elder co-housing research and the beginnings of that. So, which elder co-housing is just really interesting in itself.
We got to talk about that show. A few times in the show, Alicia and I start making
That's a good one.
Okay.
Make sure you...
Yeah. We'll be coming back.
Yeah. All right. I went to UNC Wilmington and absolutely loved it. I stayed there, ended up doing grad school, my undergrad public health, went on to do gerontology. I worked in different aging jobs while I was there, so I was getting experience while I was getting my education. I was always a CNA throughout school, and
talk about the unsung heroes. We're gonna have a whole show on that at some point. The unsung heroes of long-term care are CNAs, our direct caregivers.
Yes.
Go on, sorry.
No, and it's so important. I'm so glad that that's where I started, because I feel like everyone should have to do that. You really learn a lot. It is so humbling. It is so educational. It's really empowering. That's really where I got, because I was like, that's my grandparents.
Right. That's me.
That's me. You know, that's going to be all of us
that's
one day.
That's why I'm very happy to know that you all are existing.
Somehow it went from our grandparents to our parents to us, Alicia. Now we're looking.
Me. Yeah. Definitely me.
No, really. It's going to be all of us. And, you know, that is my ultimate goal, is, you know, and what I want to do is get younger people passionate about aging.
It is so fun that I've been a... For a long time, I said I was a cheerleader for aging services. I would do a lot at UNC. We even did stuff at high schools to encourage. And then a few years ago, I changed my tune a little bit. And here's why. The demographic shift, I feel like a bunch of years ago, it was like, hey, you should go into aging. And now with the demographics, and there are so many older adults in the proportion, and it keeps growing, that everyone is in... Whether they realize it or not, especially in the public health field, everyone's going to touch aging in some way. So it's just getting people a deeper understanding because they're already in it.
Right.
They just don't realize it yet.
Exactly.
But it's so fun.
Exactly. Yeah. No, and it's so interesting because, you know, of course, there's societal ageism that we face every day and we're still tackling
it. Oh, and we're seeing it now every night. We're not going to get into our presidential election, but I know in our world, there's just it's literally a nightly discussion on either the nightly news or the comedy shows are having a field day with it. I can't tell whether it's a good or a bad thing. It's probably a bad thing a little bit, but I think there's something good about at least is bringing the discussion because it's allowing
the awareness,
and then the challenges of saying, hey, you know,
what are we going to do about it?
Well, and also there are plenty of folks deep in their 80s who they had a stat the other day that, you know, a third of the folks over the age of 85 have brain change and cognitive changes and dementia. But then they put the flip side, which you don't normally see. They go, but that means two-thirds of adults over the age of 80 don't. So anyway, go on.
Yeah. Mm. No, that's...
I'm all riled up.
No, that's great. It's interesting because, you know, there's so much passion and there's so much fulfillment in aging, but there's opportunity in aging. There really is, and especially with the age wave. The amounts of...
That's a new one.
I like the age wave so much.
In Wilmington, because we were at the beach, and that was...
Yeah. Oh, you know what? And I like it so much better than the silver tsunami, because people didn't like those.
I like the age wave.
Yeah, it's a more positive. Okay.
The age wave, it's positive.
It involves everyone, you know?
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah. All right, so clearly you love gerontology. Got you some extra initials in it. Mm-hmm. What brought you to our fabulousness here in Orange County?
Yeah. So I was working, you know, in my really clinical field. I was doing my CNA work. I had actually finished my undergrad internship at a senior center in Brunswick County. So I work for the Brunswick County Senior Resources Incorporated.
Nice.
They have 9 senior centers in Brunswick County, which was...
We have 2. That's a...
I have 9?
Yeah. But Brunswick County...
Is it that big?
It's huge. It's huge. And it's a little rural. It's, you know, out there.
It's like back in the day, we had a bunch of different sites that were congregate meal sites, and then they combined to 2 sites.
Okay.
So it could be that there's a bunch of
things. Yeah. There's some community. Yes, exactly.
I got it.
But yeah, I did, you know, community education, all kinds of different things with them. I was looking for my first full-time job, and I went on to work with DME, Durable Medical Equipment, and I was actually working with people and with feeding tubes, with nutrition and medical nutrition. So I was going out and doing, you know, wound care, nutrition education, feeding tubes. And
That's hardcore.
Yeah, it was really interesting. And you think of that, you hear feeding tubes, not a lot of people have those, but the amount of people I worked with, I was there for about 2.5 years. And I mean, I saw hundreds of clients, you know, from NICU all the way to older adults with feeding tubes. And, you know, it was just doing really clinical work.
Would never think that.
We'll get back to feeding tubes in a little while when we talk about advanced directives, because people have an assumption about feeding tube equates end of life. And it's like, no. There's a lot of chronic conditions
that,
or acute. Stu had one. My dad had one for a little while when he was in the ICU, but just like a little while, like a few days.
Yeah.
Or weeks.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
So you got all up into that.
Yeah. And I wanted to do something that was more focused in aging. You know, I was seeing a somewhat older adult population, but I really wanted to work more in aging. I wanted something a little more geared to what I'd gone to school for. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like every new professional, apply, and wait, you know, for the opportunity. And DOA, Orange County Department on Aging, gave me that opportunity.
Yes. Janice and Kim.
Shanae.
That's right. They just know.
Talent. They know how to see talent.
they know talent. They bring it in, and then you stay for 25 years in amazing work. And it is. There's a lot of stereotypes about government workers, unfortunately, and it is. that people get complacent in their job, especially that, and there is constant innovation.
Yes.
From the top.
Definitely.
And everyone, it doesn't matter how many years, it's like, great, we've been here years, we know the basics. Let's keep doing new cool things.
Right, yes. And that's what I like.
And we're going to get into it because so many of the things are those cool things.
Yes, mm-hmm. We are so innovative. We are just say, yes, we want to, you know, put things out there. And, oh, my gosh, you're in a good place when everyone there has been there for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. So,
and, like,
you know.
Happily.
And happily.
<Yeah.
laughs>
That makes a difference. That makes a difference.
Yeah.
Okay, so they brought you in. And then what? Now we're going to start to get into, because we could have a show, literally, there's six different topics, five different big buckets that I have, maybe.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We literally have had a show on time. We could have a show on every one of them. So this is going to be the poo-poo platter, the appetizer
okay.
on a number of different shows.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you do for the Orange County Department on Aging and start going through some of the programs? And Alicia and I will pepper you with questions about them.
No, I am here for it. And it's always funny because people ask me because I have a long title. That's because
and you're young. And when you go around your field of people, I should call it what? Age wave.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's something for them to say, well, what are you doing with all those old people?
No, I hear that all the time. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, friends, you know, new friends, I tell them what I do. And it's like,
you work with old people?
Yes. I got that all the time in my 20s and 30s. Now I'm in my 50s and people just know me. They're like,
yeah.
It's, you work with old
now
people
they're like, hey, I have advice. Nobody teases me anymore. Now it's like, could you help me with my parents or
yeah.
my spouse?
It's funny because I'm being public health, I'm all about some education. So,
yes.
You know, anytime that happens, I'll take that time to educate people. And it happens on the flip. You know, I'll have people come into the office, you know, clients, older adults, caregivers, and it's like that same attitude. And it's like, so how old are you? Or what, you know?
Do you want to share how old you are? How old
I'm 27.
Oh, she's even younger than I thought. I just think everyone's, because I was a young looking person. So I thought you might be.
I thought 27, 28.
Yeah, 27. But it's, you know,
that's cute.
Well, now we're being ageist.
I'm 65.
No, it's okay. We're talking about ageism.
Are you even 65? Because you make up numbers. You are not.
64 is all the same thing.
Yeah.
You're not. We're going to have a party when you turn 60. All right, go on. Sorry.
Yes, no. It goes both ways, you know. So I'm like, actually, you know, I'm 27. You know, mm-hmm. I've been doing this a while. And they leave. And they are just like, you are so awesome. Like, thank you so much. You guys have helped me so much. You know, it's just... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I expect it. I know I look young, mm-hmm. you know, people just have to give me a little chance.
But when I was hardcore, it was at 27 right. also and looked, you know,
24,
20, yeah.
Yeah. Like
21,
yeah.
you know.
But it goes
I didn't
place.
Have silver hair then. It is, okay.
Yeah.
So, and no question, and you, regardless of what your age is, you carry yourself as such an intense mm-hmm. professional and also so passionate. So I'm so excited we finally have this time together. And then I had no idea. The depth of the program. I mean, I know that the Orange County Department on Aging, but mm-hmm. the depth of the programs that you're doing specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what do you do?
We got off on a little tangent.
The whole show is a tangent.
my role is really unique. So I am blessed to be part of two divisions. We have three divisions within the Department mm-hmm. on Aging. I am part of two. What are the three divisions?
It's the Aging Transitions.
Aging Transitions.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Volunteer Connect, 55
right.
plus.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Center-Based Services.
Oh, okay.
Which is just the senior centers, all the programming.
Yes.
But yeah, Aging Transitions, you know, I have my roles with them. And then I also do a lot with the volunteer side. And I'm also the link between the two divisions, which is really cool.
The liaison with two eyes.
Yeah. Mm. Yes. But yeah, with the Aging Transitions team, I know you've had some other members, mm-hmm. other coworkers on the...
But people can never hear too much about it because it's so great.
Yes.
What do you do with them?
We do so much. I'll tell you what I do. I do a lot of options counseling, mm-hmm. so that's...
And what does that mean?
Options counseling, and I kind of think of it as long-term care planning, long-term care counseling.
Mm-hmm.
It's just learning about your options, learning about your options related to aging. You know, if you are not sure, what does aging in place mean? Do you want to mm-hmm. stay at home, but you don't know what that means? You mm-hmm. know, what do I need to prepare for? What does that mean? Am I able to age in place? What are the, if I want to look at facilities, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. What does that cost? Mm-hmm. You know, looking at the financing piece, because mm-hmm. no one tells you about mm-hmm. this stuff.
No, I mean, I work, I'm literally running after the show to go and take a gentleman around a community, and people are surprised about it, and surprised, it is a lot more money than people mm-hmm. expect it to be.
It is, and that, I feel like, that's the worst part of, mm-hmm. that's the worst part of my job, is I feel like I'm the bearer of bad news sometimes, mm-hmm. and I have to be, because I have to let them know. But I like to be that light for them. There mm-hmm. are options.
Other options.
There are options.
And that's
there are resources.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but I did. When options counseling, the reason why I asked you to define it is I mm-hmm. thought I had heard the term 1,000 years ago, mm-hmm. options counseling in a really siloed way mm-hmm. around Medicaid and mm. benefits. Government benefits, like here are your options. I think it's because there used to be someone within either Medicaid or it wasn't Medicare that talked about options, but mm-hmm. I felt it was really limited. So I love that you have you literally what you think it means, which is let's talk about all your options.
Right.
Yeah, it's not a
yes.
not a very specific
narrow.
Term.
It's not a narrow door for
us. Oh, that's
us.
Exactly no. the word narrow. Thank you, friend.
But we have those services for folks who may be lower income mm-hmm. or maybe Medicaid beneficiaries. Mm-hmm. We have social workers. We have social workers who are split between our department and Orange County Department of Social
right.
Services, who are able
that.
To access the Medicaid, help people apply to those services, screening for eligibility, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. So we were really able
that
to meet people
the
where
workers.
They are
that's
financially.
True. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so will people meet with you and then you help do a referral to other team members on the, like, so how does that, oh, I'm just curious.
Yeah, it depends. You know, we have people come in and they're looking for all kinds of sorts of things we can help them with. Sometimes it's a one and done. They're just looking for the service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do. I do cognitive assessments, which is
the
MOCA.
The MOCA? I thought that's what it was. All right.
The MOCA.
Yes. Is that like the Michigan or Minnesota or something?
Montreal.
That too. I should just not.
No, that was close. It's the Montreal Cognitive Assessment, MOCA.
Okay.
MOCA.
And there's a set amount of staff who are trained to do the MOCA assessment. I'm one of those staff persons. Mm-hmm. So, really what it is no different than what you'd get from your doctor's office visit, mm-hmm. a nurse or a doctor doing the same test. The benefit of us being able to do it in a community setting in the mm-hmm. senior center is you don't have to make an appointment with your doctor. Mm-hmm. You don't have to pay a copay.
You can just come in. And I've had folks recently, I was talking with someone in my work world, and they were wanting to get an assessment. They were just curious. And I said, I'm pretty sure you can go to the senior center and someone there will do it. I mean, I have them. I don't want to get too technical. Is that the 30 point? Is it similar to the slums? Because I know, or the mini mental, like they have it.
Yeah, yeah, it's very similar. It takes about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Very similar to the ones you've seen where you draw the clock. It's
yeah.
that kind of thing. But it's not, we always tell people it is not a diagnosis.
Okay.
No, it's a screening.
It's a screening. It's a baseline. So it's going to tell us, you know, there may or may not, it's going to give us a rating. We're going to score it. It's going to tell us, you know, there may or may not be something going on.
Mm-hmm. Is it something that they can discuss with their doctor, their primary?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we'll give them a copy. They keep that test. They keep the score. We go over that with them. Mm-hmm. They get to take it. And if there's any kind of cognitive concern, we encourage that. If they're not already seeing a geriatrician, they need to get connected. Any really, mm-hmm. any older adult needs to get connected with a geriatrician.
Yes.
And so we tell them, or a neurologist, one of the two will be able to do that further testing and actually diagnose if there was something going on.
Yeah.
But I will say, from the couple years I've been certified, most people score normal.
Yes.
Which is interesting, because there's this stigma of like, oh, I'm getting old. I went in this room and I forgot what I came in here for. Or, you know, there's normal aging and brain change, and then there's...
Would you say that is because, I'm going to put a hypothesis out there,
yeah.
which you can absolutely challenge, and you and I are both PAC certified independent trainers, the positive approach to care, so we both have gone through some dementia training.
Yeah.
If you have enough insight and thoughtfulness to go out and get yourself tested, chances are you're probably going to be screened on the sort of normal end. It's those folks who do not have awareness mm-hmm. that their brain, right? Like, is couldn't that also? I mean, plenty of people do. I mean, I talk with folks and they do realize things
yeah.
have changed, but
it's interesting because there's some people that come in there and they just want,
tactfully.
They're they're really educated, or they really just want to get this test. They just want this peace of mind, this reassurance, and they're checked out. They're okay. Yes. They learn about what's normal, what's not. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do have referrals for people who didn't necessarily want to do it, but, you know, agreed. And, you know,
and those still came back normal, or that's when you start seeing?
That's when we'll see some changes.
That's what I would
expect.
But
I have had people notice changes in themselves, and they're like, you know, and they explain what's going on, and we do the screening, and they might not score so hot, and we'll kind of talk about that, and that happens too, you know. Mm-hmm. So it really, everyone's different.
Interesting.
But there is this stigma, you know, with what aging is. Mm-hmm. And like, oh,
in our country, I think it's just our country.
And what brain changes. I mean, there's a whole lot on dementia. You know, folks get a diagnosis of Alzheimer's, but it could be on the mild and early side, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, I can't talk to them again. They're like, I didn't die. I'm still here, you know. And so there's been a lot of voices from people themselves like, yeah, things are changing, but I'm still
able
to do a lot there. Okay.
Exactly. Still people.
So people can come. This basically is a show. It's like Oprah's giveaway. This is like Orange County Department on Aging's giveaway. Your taxpayer, you can go to the senior center. Besides getting great meals and great programs, you can go and get options counseling from Lydia. You can get a free cognitive health assessment through the MoCA.
Yes.
Tell us what else they won, Lydia.
That was cute.
I love that. Another large part of my role is advanced care planning.
Yes,
well, that's
which
good.
Is my passion and too. And I did not realize, you told me this the other day, I'm like, what? That's what I do too.
And okay, tell me. Notaries. Yes.
We're both notaries.
Yes.
We're so cool.
I love doing this. This kind of sparked out of one of our senior resource teams, which is our End of Life Choices senior resource teams under our Volunteer Connect division.
We had Ed Teriyakian on our third show with Shanae, and Ed came on.
Right. Wonderful. Okay. Yes. Yes.
But we need to have a whole show just on that. Okay.
No, so much things related to end of life, and advanced care planning is just one of those things. And, you know, we were doing programming on them, and people were having questions, and the county had paid for us some staff to go and get certified as notaries. And I was one of those people who I was very interested. I was like, I want to help people with this. People would come in and, you know, have questions about these documents. And I was like, I don't know. So I taught myself. I went and did the trainings. I had connected with Colin Austin, who was in Hillsborough.
Colin.
Colin's awesome. And I, you know, anytime I have a question, you know, I needed to find out something for a community member. So I got these answers. I trained myself, and I was like, I want to help these people. So now I'm able to offer those appointments where people can come in. I'm like, these are advanced directives, which is an umbrella term. There are so many advanced directives.
Exactly. There really are. And it's funny. Right before this, I was dropping off my dad's because he has to turn it into a different place. And I was even telling my sister, I was like, and they're like, wait, what's that? Because it's a combo term because they're like, we want your health care. Well, you say what all the, I don't want to talk for you.
No, you're right. Exactly. But
so what, when someone says, oh, I need my advanced directives, what falls under those documents?
Yes, there's so many out there. And really the ones I focus on are the most common that we see.
Mm-hmm.
So typically it's going to be your health care power of attorney.
Exactly.
It's going to be your living will.
That's right.
And there's a newer form called the NC Practical. That's what all the hospitals around here are typically giving out. And that is a combo of the living will and the healthcare power of attorney.
That's the one that I use.
Yes.
I'm actually doing a little shout out. I'm doing the LGBTQ Center of Durham's Queer Health Fair this Sunday from 11 to 3. I'll be at the Durham Park doing advanced directives and notarizing. And so I use the North Carolina Secretary of State.
Yep.
It's the combined form where the first page is your healthcare power of attorney, and then like the third and fifth through fifth pages are your living will.
Absolutely. And I just like it better anyway.
I was going to say, is that the same form? Yeah.
Yeah, it's more user-friendly. Some of the older documents, the language is just a little... if you're not medical, clinical, it can be hard to understand sometimes.
Yeah.
But there's the five wishes, too, which is really popular.
Now, that's good.
Five wishes is great.
That's good.
We need to tell people what the five wishes are. And I did it with my parents. I've done it with my in-laws.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Oh, and you can get that for free.
Yes, you can. We have copies of all the advanced directives.
Which is another Oprah gift, by the way, because five wishes I paid for.
Oh,
I bought
did?
A bunch and I gave them out. Yeah, buy them. So if you have those free to give out, and from the Secretary of State, that one's free, but still you went through the trouble of printing out. Okay, go on.
We have five wishes. We have all the copies. But five wishes is really cool. It is a booklet. So it's still an advanced directive. It still gets notarized. It's a legal document. But it's really unique. And for some people, you know, it's up to everyone which advance directive is right for them. Mm-hmm. Everyone is different. So mm-hmm. some people are like, I don't want to get that detailed, because the five wishes can get really detailed. And some people like that. Some people are like, I don't care that much. I just want so-and-so to make my decisions. Yes. Or I might feel really strongly on this topic, but not, I don't really care. You know, everyone is different.
But it asks questions. Because, like, the first three wishes are your typical healthcare power of attorney. It's wishes four and five.
Four and five get into the nitty-gritty. Yeah.
Which is what I love, right? So isn't wish four all about what's the environment you want to be in as you're kind of in your last days?
Yes, it asks about, like, having pictures beside mm-hmm. your bed, like, family and friends. Do you want people to sing to you? What do you want them to mm-hmm. sing? Do you want to be massaged with oils? Mm-hmm. There's a burial piece. Do you want to be, you know, your end-of-life wishes?
Yes,
you can
wish
put
five.
Those in there.
Yeah,
you know, it really gets into the, which is good. Some people, that's what they want.
And they have that option. They haven't had a chance to think about it or share.
And mm-hmm. if it's not what they want, it's what their families want. Because before it went awful, off the rails with my dad, we did it once. And he told me all this stuff. And there's a question about, would you be comfortable? I don't know how they put it, that, like, I want to die at home versus dying mm-hmm. at the hospital, to the extent that you can control it. And I have to say, it was very cool. My parents were like, no, we're perfectly fine with the hospital, which was great, because it didn't happen for Dad. He's still with us. My mom was in hospice. But, like, that was great. And the whole with my in-laws, who are real spiritual, like, literally, I know what hymns they want playing, I know what music they want. Yeah. My father-in-law is hysterical. He's like, it talks about being shaved, like, how, and he's like, I've hated shaving every day of my life. My last few days, don't shave me. And my
important.
Dad, when he was in the ICU, we were busy. He was busy getting shaved, and he was fine with that. So, like, it really does get specific, but for your loved ones, I got to tell you, it's wonderful having that sense of knowledge, like, okay, I'm in this crazy, stressful place, but I have a general sense of what music my parents mm-hmm. would like mm-hmm. or what, so I can't.
It truly is the greatest, it sounds weird to say it's a gift, but it is the greatest gift you can give your family, you know, for yourself,
for having been comfortable with everything and not being stressed.
Yes.
Take off some of the stress.
Yes, because if they haven't had those conversations, if they don't know what you want, that is so stressful.
And we're going into April, which is Healthcare Decisions Month. And y'all, I'm trying so hard with the governor's office to get it be proclaimed North Carolina. April Healthcare Decisions Month. I'm still waiting. I'm literally, like, harassing the governor's office. Like, did it get passed yet? Oh. So
is it up there for?
No, yeah, but anyway, so regardless, April, friends, if you haven't talked to your family, make April the time to do it.
Yes.
So in terms of the resources, if they come in, they can get these resources. Are there also resources available on your website for that?
I'm actually not sure, because we just went through this whole revamp with the aging website. So it's been kind of redone, revamped. So I'm actually not sure.
Well, then I will call people to my other job.
Make it happen.
Running the North Carolina Serious Illness Coalition. Go to www.ncsicoalition.org, and it will link you to the documents from the Secretary of State, so you can download it. There's also mindmyhealth.org, where you can then upload it for free. Mm. And so all these questions answered. So there's lots of great nonprofit, out there, or governmental resources to support you. Okay.
Yeah.
I know there's still so much to talk about, but so you do all of that, and people can just walk in and say, hey.
Yes, they can come in, they can learn about their options, they can receive the documents for free, and then when they're ready, they can have them notarized for free. Hmm. So.
Which is great, because there's literally in the past 12 hours, even think about this. So I want it. We have to do some update the forms for my dad. And because of North Carolina has an annoying law that they have to have two witnesses and a notary, mm-hmm. one of only four states in the country. We have legislation to try to change that currently with our General Assembly, because that is an unnecessary burden. And here's the issue. I can easily go and get it notarized with my dad. But you know what's hard to get? Two witnesses.
Mm. Yeah.
Because, like, where would... No, and then the opposite. People can get it witnessed easily, but they can't get a notary. So.
Yes. And that's the biggest question I have. They're like, do I need to bring some people with me? I'm like, we grab staff, an intern, a volunteer.
That's what's great about
we
doing it.
We always mm-hmm. have someone there. Always. The staff is always booming with people. There's always someone there. Mm-hmm. So no matter what... I had two yesterday scheduled. No problem getting four different notaries.
Which is huge, because... It's very different.
So we take care of that stress. You know, just come in and get the service for free. Your advanced care planning is done. You can check it off your list.
All right. We have three other fun topics. So we're gonna leave advanced directives. We're doing good. Other things. I know what the topics are, but tell me about the other things. She really is. I'm not gonna let this go. The gift basket of resources.
I'm getting the name out there.
How else are you amazing, Lydia?
Oh, goodness, yes. I know. I definitely wanted us to talk about solo agers.
Yes.
I'm gonna jump into that next. If that's
another fun term.
Yes,
has gotten rebranded.
It's got better. I like that.
It has. It's been rebranded, exactly. And the kind of the history on that was initially about almost a decade ago, there was a term, elder orphans, which sounds just, exactly, Alicia. Yeah, just terrible. Ageist, and their definition essentially was just a single older adult, no kids. Well, flash forward a little bit, about 6 years ago, Dr. Sarah Gebhardt coined the term solo ager, and there's been
much more positive.
And there's been some books out there about it. Well, a couple of years ago, I have to shout out Trudy Matheny. She's an older adult Orange County resident, and she had this idea to create this solo agers group for Orange County. And she brought this idea to the retired Sherry Roseman, the former director.
Yes, we love you, Sherry.
Yes, the former director of the UNC Partnerships in Aging Program, PAP, and started this initiative, had this great idea, and they brought it to us, the Orange County Department on Aging, and they wanted to make this group happen. So they were like, who wants to be this liaison? And I was like, immediately raised.
I'm
yes, me.
Go, girl. Pick me. Like her. I hope there's many more like her.
I just really believed in the initiative, and I resonated with so much of what they were saying. I was like, I see those people every day. They really are. And we have such a more inclusive, I guess, definition of solo agers because in my mind, solo aging, like, yes, physically, if you're alone, single, without kids, but if you think about it, no one prepares you for aging. So, like, even if you are married or if you have kids, but they're in a separate state.
Yeah, chances, your kids are in California.
Yeah. So you lost your loved one and you may leave.
Exactly. There's so many circumstances, scenarios that could make you a solo
ager. Or your loved one already is farther along in a health or cognitive process, so you don't have the support.
That is true.
Yeah, there's a, I love it.
Really, a majority of Americans are solo aging because they're not in the field of aging or healthcare, and they just don't know what how to navigate this realm. So it's really interesting, and the group is just absolutely fabulous. And I do have their websites. I do have to plug them in.
I saw there was a website. Plug away.
Yeah. So if you'd like to look on the history of solo agers, it's on the partnershipsinaging.unc.edu, and you just go and look. There's a solo agers tab you can check out. And we also created our own website.
Which I like. It's a little bit, well, yeah, and it's a little tighter. But yeah, do the first website because I saw it. I'm like, that's so long. I'm just going to do the other one. But okay, but yes, do that one.
Yes, the soloagersorangenc.org is our website. So and all of our past meetings, our past initiatives, all kinds of resources for solo agers are on our website. And we meet every single month, the fourth Wednesday of the month at 4 at the Seymour Center. We've been meeting for about 2 years now. And really...
And this is a group of residents and then residents of the community and then a few facilitators?
So we have a committee and we have people who come from outside of Orange County because really... This is a social engagement group. This is for solo agers to come together and find this community and support in one another. And we try and have a topic or educational piece each meeting. So we've had geriatric care managers come and talk. That's one thing I talk about with solo agers as a resource.
Well, I should come talk about my other gig.
Yes.
Geriatric care. I should talk about how important fitness is.
Yeah, let's both talk. Bring Alicia and I. We're going to talk about our radio show, and then we'll talk about our own side hustles.
We would love to have you. Really?
Okay, cool.
Yes.
So you meet with a group of people and they come from all over and they from five and and you always have a group?
Yes. So most people are in Orange County. We did have one lady. She's now moved. She's now an Orange County resident, but she was traveling from, I believe it was from Moore County. She was getting lodging to come to this group for a few months, you know, and it was just
Like, she would stay at a hotel, like, lodging?
Yes.
Wow, lodging. This is a good... Is it... Is it primarily women? Is it women and men? Is it primarily of a certain age? Like, who is this attracting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so initially it was primarily women, but we have a steady group of men that are coming to the group, which is phenomenal to see.
Nice.
And we have a lot of repeats, a lot of people who come. We have new people every month, though. So it's, you know, same faces, new faces every month. We're actually doing our first field trip together next week. We're going to the PACE Center in Pittsburgh, which
the
I don't know if you...
PACE?
PACE. Yes.
Okay, explain what PACE is. The show is nothing, but it's like a long explanation. All right, and we have to have a whole show on PACE.
Yeah, no, real quick. PACE is the program for all-inclusive care for the elderly. PACE is a wonderful program. I could go on and on about PACE, but we're going to tour them. We had them come talk to the group a couple months ago, and they offered to do a field trip for us. So, of course, we took them up on that, and they're going to see PACE because PACE is such an underutilized program.
Great.
It's wonderful.
And real quick, listeners, those are for people who are choosing to stay at home, but they are already skilled nursing facility eligible. So they already have a number of either physical or cognitive issues.
Yes.
But rather than going into a long-term care kind of communal community. Mm-hmm. I hate the word facility.
Yeah.
It's Medicaid, though you can also do it separately.
Right. Is it nationwide or is it just Orange County?
No, it's nationwide.
Medicare.
It's our local PACE site that we have here in our district and then in our region, and then there are different regions around North Carolina. Yeah, it's a big national model, came out of the 70s. We love it.
Yes. All right.
So Solo Agers has become the place to be for people to see and be seen and learn things.
Yeah, it's wonderful. There are so many people in that group that we've gotten connected into our volunteer programs, into all kinds of different initiatives, and just I see they have so much will and so much initiative, and they want to do things. They want this purpose, which is another thing I want to get into is
Let's talk about that. I know, I'm like, wait, we've got 10 minutes.
I know. Yeah, it's you know, there's this thing that just is not talked about enough, and it's the retirement transition how it impacts your mental health. And that's something I'm heavily involved in.
Thank you. That's
and
very needed.
It is.
I'm
going
to talk about that.
It's not talked about enough. And, you know, I'm really involved in connecting folks into our volunteer safety net services, finding them meaningful opportunities. And there's a lot of people that come. They're coming to the Solo Agers group, or they're stuck. Or, you know, they're not happy where they're at, or they're struggling to find meaning, they're retired. They're in all kinds of different, they've lost a spouse, so many spaces. And it's like, we have opportunity for them. We have so much for them. So much leadership roles for them. You know, we're just the liaison. We're just the support. You know, this is their county, older adults in Orange County.
That's amazing. I think it was our second show is when the Surgeon General's report on the crisis of social isolation and loneliness. Sinead, and there's so much happening with the Volunteer Connect 55 Plus and all your work to really dive in and make sure people have meaningful,
absolutely,
not just busy, but meaningful engagement, sense of purpose.
Meaningful. It's so important. And we were both at the NC Impact Mental Wellness Older Adult seminar they had at the PBS studios, and we were talking about this, and it's in my mind, it really is a public health crisis, because being socially isolated, not having a sense of purpose, it can knock years off your lifespan. It is increase your risk of all the, you know, anxieties, depression, comorbidities, everything. Mm-hmm. It's terrible.
It's why I struggle a bit with the aging in place term, because this whole issue of I think there's still a bit of a, I don't know, stereotype or feeling that if you age at home, if you stay at home, you're successful, but not as much sort of analysis on, wait, is your home really, your current home really the best place? Are you able to get around and be active? Do you have access to people?
Right.
And, you know, so
you're not isolated. Right.
You know, it may not, you age wherever your home is, but is the actual home you're in at this moment?
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of feelings about how our homes can be. We had a whole show, how can our homes and our communities be designed better for more inclusivity?
Absolutely.
But okay.
And I think Marie Dagger, who's our occupational therapist at the... Yes, Marie's fabulous. I think she said it best. She said, you know, we know you love your home, but does your home love you back?
I say that. I have that on a slide, too.
Oh,
I don't know whether...
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so I think we either just are both brilliant or either I heard her...
Oh, my gosh, yes.
But no, I have a whole slide that says, you love your home, does it love you back?
Yes.
Lot of different ways.
It's such a good statement.
I probably learned it from her. She's so smart.
No.
Well, so are you, Heather. Discount yourself, honey.
With the aging in place, like that's what I talk about with folks, because aging in place just isn't a financial thing.
Right.
It's, you know, do you live with a partner? Do you have a support system? Do you have a neighborhood level support system? What does your, you know, there's so much that goes into that.
I'm dealing with something because it sounds like you're talking about different age groups, and I'm dealing with age groups that are 80 and above. Like, it's like everybody I'm dealing with is 85 and 90, 92, 97. It's very difficult for inclusive with that group of people. And when you're saying all the things that are available, now there was a 94, a two-year-old who went to see Jaws at the center yesterday.
Well, I think, right, the
What is the transition point for including or trying to get involved that group of people? How do you even tap them with what you're doing?
Yeah, and it really just depends because, yes, there are people who are in the older group, who are 85 and up, who are, you know, they have more needs, they may have more mobility changes, may be more homebound, but that's not always, you know, the case. But tapping into your older old, it really is... In my opinion, the intergenerational engagement, you know, getting people younger, family, caregivers, neighbors, letting them know how to support these people. Because a lot of time, even these, you know, older, old population, they are solo agers.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, we get calls all the time on our aging helpline about these situations. And
I send them to you. I send neighbors when they're is it like people are concerned about their neighbors?
Yes, or they live alone and there's X, Y, and Z going on. Right. And it's a lot. And there's, you know, needs that we can help them with, services, community supports, maybe Heather, you know, all kinds of things, transportation, you know, so many things. And it's like just letting people know how to support these people instead of just picking up the phone and calling APS or, you know, people just don't know how to support older adults.
They get scared.
They really
and we don't.
I have someone dealing with that. Don't know how.
Yeah.
Been helping young people, but now they have an older
person.
We're
not comfortable with risk. All right, so I see this term. Right now we're talking about your work within the mental wellness in older adults and all the psychosocial adjustment work. What is the Monarch Support Group?
Yes, I almost forgot. Thank you for asking about that.
I've got a good little list here.
Yes, so the Monarch Support Group, I created this last year. I just saw this need, and that's a really cool part about my job is I have leeway where if there's a need, there's a gap, I get to feel it.
This is what we love about the innovative folks, the Orange County Department on Aging.
So innovative. We had these caregiver dementia support groups, Parkinson support groups, but there was this need for people who are adjusting from retirement and finding purpose and talking with people, relating to others about that. And my coworker had shared with me, formerly we were running a grief support group, and one of the attendees was actually sharing that they weren't grieving a lost loved one. They were grieving their former life.
Yes.
Their occupation.
Absolutely.
And it's like, how do we find a resource, a support for that population? So that's where this came from.
Monarch.
And
did you, like the Monarch Butterfly?
So
did you name this? Someone gets a gold star.
It took me some time because I wanted to make sure the name fit it. So Monarch, because of the butterfly, because it's a life transition.
Mm-hmm. I love
it. And also taking back your power, empowering older adults to take back their life and finding that meaning and that purpose and to relate to others and letting them know they are not alone. This is a serious life transition, especially with the older adult population, because, you know, there's been this generational shift in the mindset of the workforce. And it was work, work, work.
Right.
Work comes before family sometimes.
Yes.
And they were really closely identified with their their occupation.
Exactly. Yes.
And losing that and retiring is such an adjustment. Mm-hmm. And it can lead into...
We see it all the time.
Yes. So, you know, and it's been really successful. Our facilitator for that is June Erler. Mm. She got connected.
I do not know her.
She just graduated from our last Project Engage class.
Oh, nice. And we have a few minutes left, so we can go into Project Engage and senior resource teams and then whatever else you want to do in 3 minutes.
Wow. Yeah. No, this time actually really flew by.
Yes.
Project Engage is phenomenal. And
we had a show on it. Folks, it's like our second or third show. Shanae came in and talked about Project Engage. Right. So you can just do a quick reminder.
Yep, Project Engage, it's a 13-week senior leadership training. Mm-hmm. And Alicia actually came and spoke to us last time about wellness and all kinds of fun stuff.
Don't remember.
You did a phenomenal job.
I remember.
You did, yes.
That's why you looked at me. You're like, I don't remember. Alicia does so many
times. I remember your smile. I remember
Go on.
Yes, no. 13-week senior leadership course, and it educates older adults about all things aging, what services are available, mm-hmm. community supports, county municipalities that exist, what they do, how it all relates to aging. Phenomenal program. Mm-hmm. And out of that comes all of our senior resource teams, where we're doing a lot of community education, a lot of outreach. So I am blessed to lead the Mental Wellness Senior Resource Team, which I love doing. We've got some really cool programming coming up. We just did a life coaching program this week, which is really cool. I've never heard a life coach talk before, and now I'm a huge life coach fan.
I'm a life coach.
Are you really?
Yeah,
I've met with one. Oh, yeah. Go on. We're going to have so many shows. I told you, this is our people platter. This is our appetizer. We're going to have a whole life coach thing. All right, then the other...
Yes, other senior resource teams. We've got the End of Life Choices. Mm-hmm. We have our LGBTQ+ senior resource team, our intergenerational. And I'm really excited. I'm relaunching our Neighborhood Connection senior resource team.
Mm. Interesting.
So
that'll
be really fun to
talk about with that.
Yeah, that's that's an interesting one with the rural areas that are.
Yes, there is. I've actually, Trudy Matheny, who came up with Solo Agers, actually is going to be at that meeting because she lives in a rural area. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, these neighborhoods, these care committees and villages and, you know, these neighborhoods here, they've got their own neighborhood support system. Mm-hmm. How do rural communities do that? How can we change what that model looks like to support and create a social model support system for rural?
There's so much going on. I hate that we have to end the show. I told you, I knew that we were going to run out. We were extra chatty, but it's Lydia, you're amazing. For our listeners who want to actually talk to you, what is the way to get in touch with you?
Yes, the easiest way is to call our aging helpline. And really, any question you have whatsoever about aging helpline, it's 919-968-2087.
Mm-hmm. Great. And... all right, I'll just end it there by saying thank you, Lydia Arnold, so much from the Orange County Department on Aging. Alicia, I missed you. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this lovely day with our lovely station. I always have to give a shout out to WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carrboro on 103.5 FM for hosting our weekly Aging Well Together show. Friends, take care of each other. And Lydia, thank you.
Thank you for having
me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yay!